Mr. Threlfeld.
Thank you, Chief Judge Easterbrook. May it please the Court, Counsel. I'm Brian Threlfeld with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, arguing on behalf of Andre Pitkevich. At sentencing, the government's position was that the district court could reduce Mr. Pitkevich's sentence on the basis of the sentence in the related Ohio case only if his conduct in the Ohio case increased the base offense level in this case or was included in the criminal history calculations for this case. Now, as this court noted in its order of May 23rd, the district court may have based its denial of Mr. Pitkevich's objections on these arguments by the government that seem to be questionable in their interpretation of the text of the guideline. The government has now abandoned that position, the position it took at sentencing, in its brief. But its brief does not show that the district court did not rely on those mistaken interpretations of the text of the guideline. And for that reason, remand would be appropriate to get clarification from the district court. The government's brief now argues that this sentence should not have been reduced because Mr. Pitkevich's conduct in the Ohio case was not the sole basis for the enhancements in this case. But Guideline Section 5G1.3b does not require that the conduct in the related case be the sole basis for the enhancement for the enhancements in the case that the sentencing judge has before him. In the text of the guidelines, it's enough that the offense conduct in the other case was relevant conduct in this case, and that the defendant served time for his conduct in the other case. Now, this court, in its order of May 23rd, also said that the district court had denied Mr. Pitkevich's arguments without explanation. The government is now arguing that this court was apparently mistaken on that point because it says the district court had said at one or two points in sentencing that it had taken into account the PSR, the parties' filings, and their arguments at that sentencing hearing. But that's a sort of boilerplate remark that we almost always hear from district judges at sentencing. And if that sort of essentially global catch-all type of explanation can be taken as a detailed explanation for rejection of a party's guideline argument, then that would essentially render unnecessary any detailed explanation of a court's sentencing decision. The bottom line is that the Ohio conduct was relevant conduct in this case. There's no dispute about it. The government says it was not the sole factor in the application of the enhancements, but there's no question that it was a factor. Punishment for that conduct that was taken into consideration in Mr. Pitkevich's guideline calculations, punishment for that conduct has already been accounted for in the Ohio sentence. It would be reasonable under the guideline provisions to reduce the Illinois sentence on the basis of the Ohio sentence. Now, if the district judge was not going to do so, then he should give a specific explanation of his decision on that point. And again, what Mr. Pitkevich is seeking is not is a reduction of about 1/12 of his total sentence. The sentence here was 71 months. He served 6 months in the Ohio case. So again, it would be he's seeking a small fraction of a reduction of his sentence. For these reasons, we ask that this court vacate the judgment of the district court and remand for resentencing and fuller explanation on these points.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm prepared for questions?
Not at the moment. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Ms. McClellan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. The district court had ample reason in its discretion to reject the defendant's request for sentencing credit based on the considerable scope of the Chicago fraud scheme in relation to the relatively minor basis for the Ohio offense. If the court had refused to give credit on the Ohio conviction, and we were talking simply about one use of one fraudulent identification piece in the Chicago case, the defendant might have an argument. But the court considered the Ohio conduct, considered the fact that it only involved one piece of identification, looked at the scope of the fraud in Chicago, which involved six separate pieces of identification, six separate fraudulent pieces, six separate transactions.
Well, I certainly appreciate that the district judge might very well have had good reasons not to give a six-month credit. Indeed, the judge might have had good reasons to give a sentence of 83 months imprisonment or 107. But unfortunately, the district judge didn't say that. The district judge just said no. Now, don't we ordinarily ask district judges to give their reasons so that we can see if they're thinking about this clearly and reasonably?
Absolutely, we do, Your Honor. But the government believes that a review of the sentencing transcript will reveal that the district court did, in fact, consider not only with a perfunctory statement regarding the pre-sentence report, regarding all of the sentencing briefs and all of the argument that counsel made, but on page 44 of the transcript, the court does make mention before defense counsel at the sentencing asks if there's going to be a denial of the 5G motion. The court went on for an extended period of time describing the extensive fraud, describing the nature of the defendant's underlying criminal history.
But the problem is that that expression doesn't deal with the relation between the Illinois and Ohio components. Right? As I say, the district judge might have had perfectly sound reasons for saying, I'm giving you 71 months. Indeed, he could have said, but for the time in Ohio, I would have given you 77 months. The problem is he never addressed the relation between the Illinois and Ohio convictions and time in prison. That's the shortcoming. Is there someplace where he addressed this relation?
Not where he addresses the relation specifically, but in response to all of the items argued at the sentencing and in relation to the briefing that occurred in advance, the district court identified the scope of the underlying scheme, identified the fraudulent behavior, the organized theft of vehicle enhancement, and also said, after acknowledging all of this behavior, that it was denying the motion for a downward variance. It went on then to discuss the criminal history and to reject the arguments that were made relating to the criminal history overstated by virtue of the criminal history category. And then only when the defendant said, after all of this information had been set forth by the district judge, are you also denying the 5G? The district judge said yes. After listening to all of the information that the district court considered and all of the findings that it made, no one could have concluded that the court was basing its enhancement solely on the conduct for the time that was already served in the Ohio prison.
I'm a little confused about the Ohio case. I understand he pled based on one license, but wasn't it a conspiracy that ran over a couple-year period of time or a substantial period of time?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe that it was. I believe that it was a period of time in December of 2008.
Right. But there were multiple licenses involved?
Your Honor, there were two false identifications obtained, but only one that resulted in a guilty plea, and
right.
one of those was used in the Illinois fraud scheme.
And none of the he obtained nothing else as part of the Ohio scheme that was used in the Illinois scheme.
That's correct. There were separate, completely separate identities obtained from other sources that were used in the Illinois scheme. The parallel was the one named Kowalczyk that was used to acquire two of the motor vehicles in the Illinois scheme. It is clear why the district court rejected the defendant's variance motion, and that was to prevent him from realizing an unjust windfall due to the fortuity of the earlier Ohio conviction. The windfall especially would have occurred because this was not considered in his criminal history. The fact that the judge didn't mention 5G2.23 after describing the scope of the fraudulent behavior and denying the motion for the departure does not invalidate the basis for the sentence. And it is clear from the record that the court gave these issues consideration. District court committed no error, and the government requests that the judgment of the district court be affirmed. Unless there are any questions, the government will rest on its brief.
Thank you, Ms. McConnell.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. Threlkeld?
Just very briefly, I feel compelled to observe that I don't view 6 months spent in federal prison as a windfall. I don't think Mr. Petkevich did. And it's time served for criminal conduct. If there are no other questions, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.